Well, I've had so much fun spending time with you this weekend, and it's been great to get to know some of you, especially as we talk over meals, and you know, as I hear a little bit of your story and who you are, and I've shared some of mine. And you know, I learned this morning that your online attenders are also here as well. Clement and Melissa are here from Sacramento. I don't know where they're sitting. Oh, right here. Yeah. So it's really cool. And, you know, I learned a lot about you last night just from the games that we played. I've never been to a church that played Pong. There was also a very suggestive white powder game that was mysterious. I wasn't really sure about that. And then I heard some of you played poker all night. And so, Calvin, just a suggestion, to do the new members class after games, I think you have more people come and sign up. You know, so this is my kind of church. They like to have fun. Turn with me to John chapter 10 this morning. We're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 10, and we're going to really continue this journey on prayer as we listen to the teaching that Jesus gives his disciples. So John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read this for you. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have life abundantly. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we ask that you would speak through this text. May your voice be clear to us as we listen. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and give us the words that each one of us, wherever we are on the spiritual journey with you, that would be an encouragement, a benefit in our life with you. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing this this talk, this idea of prayer, and St. Teresa of Avila said, when it comes to prayer, we're all beginners. And so no matter how long you've been following Jesus, or whether you're a pastor, or maybe you wouldn't even consider yourself a Christian at this point in your life, it doesn't matter where you are on that journey. St. Teresa said, hey, we're all actually just learning. We're beginners. Let's not assume more of ourselves than we really should. There was another famous saint, Joan of Arc, who would hear from God constantly. And so the people said, hey, why does God continue to speak to you? And why has he stopped speaking to us? And Joan of Arc said, God has not stopped speaking to you. You've stopped listening. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to actually shift our posture. Yesterday, we talked about talking to God. What do you say when you pray? Like, what do you think about when you pray? What do you express to God when you spend time with him, when you find that designated time or that designated place, and what comes out of your mind or your heart or your mouth? Today, I want to shift and say, when we pray, what do we hear? What should we be listening for? Which raises all kinds of questions, because when it comes to hearing God's voice, how do you know it's really God? How do you know what God sounds like? How do I not know that those are just the voices in my head? A comedian, Lily Tomlin, once said, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" Right? So how do we know the difference? Like, how do I know that's really God's voice? One of my best friends growing up, his name was Daniel, And we grew up in the same church together. Both of our dads were elders in the church. We were in the same college ministry together. We both went to seminary together, not the same seminary. We both became pastors. We both married pastors' kids. Both of our wives are, you know, grew up in the church. And so there's so much parallel in our lives. And we never knew, I mean, we knew each other. I think we were even baptized in the same church when we were babies. But the way we got married was very different. So for me and my wife, you know, I met my wife. I thought she was cute. I said, hey, would you like to go out for breakfast? And we started dating, and it got more serious, and then I proposed, and then we got married. The way that my friend Daniel got married to Sophia was very different. One day Daniel was praying. He's one of my best friends, and, you know, he's very, you know, had a deep relationship with God. He was praying, and he heard God's voice say, I think you and Sophia should get married. This is a true story. So he calls Sophia up, and they're not even close friends, okay? They're not even close friends. You know, it's like they're not even living in the same city. I mean, we were both all working. He was working at a bank in Charlotte, and she was doing nursing in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And he calls her up, and she goes, and this is, you know, this was like back in the early, like around 2000, 2001 maybe. Maybe even before that. And so not even cell phones. And she picks up and he goes, hey, Sophia, how you doing? He goes, yeah, why are you calling me? And he goes, well, Sophia, you know, I've got something to tell you. I was praying and God told me that we should get married. And this is how Sophia responded. She's a godly woman. She goes, really? Wow, that is so interesting. She goes, I've been praying too. And God has not said that to me. And she promptly hung up the phone. She hung up the phone, and that was it. But as the story goes, about a week later, she called him back. He says, tell me more. Like, what, you know, it's like, I haven't heard any of that. Like, what's going on? And one thing led to another, and I stood in their wedding. You know, he stood in my wedding. I mean, it turned into, like, you know, a beautiful story. But how many of us have ever heard from God that clearly, that specifically, and that correctly, right? Like, how is that all lined up? Like, for some people, let's be honest, the idea of hearing God's voice might bring up anxiety or fear even, right? I mean, some of us have actually probably been hurt by someone who claimed to hear a word from God that was hurtful for us to hear. You know, oh, the reason why you're going through that hard time is because, and they're speaking on behalf of God, because you're not faithful, or you've strayed, or, you know, you're not praying enough. Or how many of you have seen someone that you love or someone close to you make an unwise decision claiming that God told them to do that? Right? And so we think about this idea of hearing his voice. It, you know, like, it'd be great if I had a direct line to God and I could just call him or he could just tell me. But in reality, this is a very mysterious thing that sometimes is a little tricky to sort out. Many of you will remember Dan Rather. He was a very well-known a TV anchor for CBS. I think he's still alive, maybe in his 90s now, retired. But he once did this rare interview with Mother Teresa, right? And everybody knows Mother Teresa. And during the interview, he asked her, he said, hey, when you pray, what do you say to God? And she says, I don't say anything. I listen. And so Dan Rather turns the question. He goes, okay, then when you're listening, what does God say? And she said with a smile, he listens. And I think what she's telling us is that prayer is not a one-way communication. It's not a monologue where we just talk to God and hope he's listening. But it's a two-way street. It's interactive. It's a back and forth. Prayer is learning to hear the voice of God. Prayer is being able to speak to God. Prayer is having that deep, rich God with life. And that is the goal of prayer. And it's important that as followers of Jesus, that we are able to listen to and hear and discern the voice of God. That's probably one of the most important things that we can learn to do as a Christian. The reason why is because if we're not listening to God, who are we listening to? Who is giving us direction and guidance for our lives? In the parable we just read, Jesus referred to this thing called a stranger's voice. So there's God's voice, Jesus' voice, but then there's a stranger's voice that comes only to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Whereas the shepherd's voice leads us into the abundant life, life to the full. And so it's important for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to be able to not only hear, but recognize the voice of our Heavenly Father, the voice of Jesus. So let's look at John 10 again. We're going to work through this together. And then I want to share with you maybe some ways that God may speak to us and how you might be able to experience that today. So in John 10, in verse 2, Jesus says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." So what Jesus is saying here is the defining characteristic of the sheep, which are you and me, right? We are the sheep in this metaphor, in this analogy. The defining characteristic of those who follow Jesus are those who listen to Jesus' voice, or to the voice of the shepherd. Jesus goes on to say, he calls his own sheep by name. Notice, the voice of Jesus is not one to many. It's not like me talking to a room full of people, but Jesus is saying it's one to one. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows where you are right now, and he calls you by name. He knows you. Jesus goes on to say, he calls his sheep by name and leads them out, and when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. So Jesus is going ahead of us, and his sheep do what? Follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. So hearing his voice has to do with him leading us and us following him. And we know his voice because, you know, Jesus says his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So knowing, if you think about it, if you unpack that word, it's a learning. It's the ability to learn and to develop, to know something or to know someone, to recognize their voice, to learn to trust them. Think about a child, right, who's learning to trust their parents. They learn the voice of their mother or their father, their face, and they follow them joyfully. They'll go anywhere with them. But when a stranger comes and says, "Hi, what's your name?" what do they have? Stranger anxiety, right? Because they don't recognize that voice. They haven't learned to trust that voice. And Jesus is saying here, you can learn to know his voice. And this is a journey. This is a process. This is a relationship. But they will never follow a stranger in verse 5. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. A stranger's voice. This implies that there are other voices that compete to push and pull our heart in different directions. The voices of people who have influence over us, the voices of our peers, the voices of culture, the broader culture. I still remember things people have said to me over 20 years ago, and those voices still hang over me. Do you have any of those voices that just continue to echo in your mind? Jesus is saying that all of us who are his sheep will know his voice, and this is a picture of a sheep and their shepherd living in this dynamic relationship. And it's not just a faith or a belief system, but at the core, it's a relational spirituality. It's an interactive relationship like any other interactive, healthy relationship. There's a back and a forth, a give and a take, a speak and a listen. In Luke 10, there's the story of Mary and Martha, two sisters. A very famous story, very popular story. Martha was busy with many things, but what was Mary doing in this particular instance? She was described as sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. So she was listening, like Mother Teresa, listening to the voice of God. A disciple of Jesus is someone like Mary who spends time listening. Listening for his voice. And what did Jesus say to Martha? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Right? This is the kind of listening that does what? That leads us to follow, which is another way of saying it leads us to obedience, to obey Jesus' teaching. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, he's basically saying, listen to me and do what I say. So the point of listening, the point of hearing is to do what? Not just to get divine direction or to tell us which direction to turn or what job to take or who to marry, but the point of listening is to obey, is to have life with God, to follow his lead. Now, I don't know about you, but I have all kinds of mixed feelings about that word obey, Right? It's a loaded word, right? Maybe some of you, I know I have been hurt by an authority figure, you know, who I was supposed to listen to and obey, right? Or maybe it just goes against your nature to be true to yourself. You know, don't listen to any external voices. Just listen to that voice in your heart. But what Jesus is saying is, as a disciple, you should be listening to the shepherd's voice with the intention to do one thing and one thing only, to obey it, to follow through, to live it out. And Jesus goes on to tell his disciples in the Great Commission, go to the ends of the earth and make disciples and do what? Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, everything that I have taught you. So learning to hear Jesus' voice is one of the greatest tasks of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, but learning to obey his voice is an even greater task. And this is something that we have to develop the trust to do. The obedience to Jesus is not an obstacle. It's like obeying God is not an obstacle to the good life. It is the good life. I remember earlier in my spiritual journey, I thought, gosh, to follow Jesus, I'm just going to have to live this hard life, a life that I don't want. Following Jesus is going to be, you know, filled with bumps and bruises and, you know, I'm going to take my licks. But that is not the reality. A life with Jesus, obedience to Jesus, is the good life. And Jesus says it in John 10:10, the abundant life, life to the full. And this is what discipleship is all about. It's this process, right? It's this journey of learning to hear his voice, trusting his wisdom over our own, surely but slowly, time, you know, year over year, month over month, until we really are able to hear his voice and receive it as our deepest joy. And when we come to that place of trusting his wisdom, it becomes the driving aim of our lives. And when we sit down to listen to Jesus, again, our goal isn't just to get direction or, God, help me to make the right decision so that I don't make a mistake. But really, it's about saying, God, wherever you want to lead me, I will follow. That is the posture. When Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear, what he's saying is, if you're willing to do what I say, you'll hear my voice. Right? So that is the posture that we have to take when we come before him. So now the question is, how do we do this? Okay, how do we actually hear God's voice? Let's get practical here. I mean, God doesn't really have a body. It's not like he has vocal cords that produce an audible sound that's unique and distinct, like the voice of James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman that sounds like this beautiful voice coming from God. How do we actually hear his voice without sounding crazy or feeling like we're going crazy? Well, there's no one-size-fits-all formula to this. Kind of like yesterday, I'm going to share some ways that we can hear God's voice today. Yesterday, we talked about some ways that we can meet with God and talk to God. And remember yesterday, we just said, hey, just start where you are. Just show up. Show up regularly and pick a time, pick a place. Find a time when you're ready, you know, when you're at your best. And so today I want to do some of that as well. I want to just suggest some ways that God may be trying to or presently is speaking to you and how we might be able to just pause and pay attention and listen. So here's a few, and I just want to start with the most important one. First, the primary way we hear God's voice is through Jesus, okay? In Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, those who come before us, through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So Jesus here is being called the Word, right? And in John 1, we're also told that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that was Jesus. And so in the gospel, right, you know, when it refers to the message of Jesus, what it's talking to is the message of the kingdom of God. When the New Testament writers tells us that Jesus sat down to preach and to teach, he's not teaching the Bible in that particular context. What he's doing, he's announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. So hearing God's voice begins and ends with listening to the teaching of Jesus. Right, as we read the Gospels, as we study the Gospels, Jesus is the Word. And all other ways all other ways, and the ones that I'm even going to talk about in these next few moments, all the other ways that God communicates to us come through Jesus and point back to Jesus. It is grounded in him. It's not this subjectivity, but everything that we hear that comes from God should point back to Christ. We hear from God by reading about Jesus, by listening to his teaching, by praying and living in the ways that he's taught us, the Sermon on the Mount, the many parables that he's given us, which naturally leads to the second way that we hear God's voice. The first way we hear God's voice is through Jesus himself, by reading his teachings, but the second way we hear God's voice is through Scripture, through the Bible. We have 66 books in this canon, and God speaks to us through his word, through Scripture. Now, some of the Bible is the written record of God's audible voice from heaven. So the Ten Commandments, for instance, right? This is God talking to Moses up on Sinai and saying, here is the law that I want you to give to the people. This is what it means to be holy and to be set apart. And so we've got a written record of Moses' conversation with God, God's audible voice, and he comes down the mountain with the law. Right? We also have in the Gospels, we have the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus sits down on a hillside and there are many people following him and he begins to teach them about what life in the kingdom of God is about. Right? These are literally written records of God speaking audibly to his people. But much of the Bible, right, especially in the Old Testament, is God coming to us, speaking to us through the minds and the imaginations of human writers. People like King David, right? Many of his psalms are psalms that we sing and pray today. And God was speaking through David as he was worshiping God. And we've gathered that writing, we've gathered that poetry and that music, and it's part of our biblical canon today. And this is a medium through which, in which we can hear God's voice through Scripture. So obedience to Scripture is obedience to Jesus. It is obedience to God. And when we reject the teaching of Scripture, we're rejecting the voice of God. And that's why Scripture is so important to us. Let me suggest a couple different ways that we can read Scripture to hear this. And this may be familiar for many of you, and it might be new for some of you. But there are many ways to approach Scripture, and there's two that I want to highlight. The first one is this ancient practice called Lectio Divina. Have you heard of Lectio Divina before? This is a Latin phrase. If you translate it, it means spiritual reading, right? We call it Lectio Divina because it sounds fancy. But at the end of the day, it's just spiritual reading. And this is what it is. It's when you read a short passage of Scripture slowly in a spirit of prayerfulness and quiet meditation with your heart open to receive what God is saying to you. Let me say that again. Lectio Divina, or spiritual reading, is reading a short passage, maybe even just a verse, slowly, sometimes multiple times over and over, in a spirit of prayerfulness and quiet meditation, with your heart open to receive what it is God might want to say to you. And while you're reading that passage of Scripture, you're asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate maybe a word or a phrase or an idea to come off the text and into your life. For me, almost every morning, this is how I read Scripture. I don't try to read it quantity in the morning. I just try to read quality. I just try to read maybe a chapter or maybe even just a passage from a chapter. And as I'm reading through it, I say, God, speak to me through this word this morning. And may it be something that I can carry throughout the day. And that's my prayer. God, say something, speak to me in some way where this word is going to guide me throughout today. Right? This is Lectio Divina, or spiritual reading. Right? There's no right or wrong way to do this. Just come before, and I suggest maybe the Psalms or the Gospels, and just slowly, you know, I like to use the word marinate. You know, we use the word meditate, but what is marinating, right? How many of you like to marinate beef or marinate meat, right? I love to marinate food, right? It's soaking, literally, a piece of meat in a marinade for hours, sometimes even overnight, sometimes even for days, right? At our home, we've been working on, Nobu's famous miso cod recipe. Have you ever tried this before? I Google it, check it out. You get cod and you basically create this miso marinade. And the longer you can marinate it, the better. But remember, it's fish, so you can't marinate it forever, right? You have to eat it while it's fresh. But the longer you marinate it, the richer the flavor. It goes all the way into the fish. And when we are doing Lectio Divina, we're marinating in Scripture. We're sitting in Scripture and we're just letting it enter into us. We're soaking in God's Word. So that's one way we can read the Bible and hear God's voice. And here's another way, and I think many of you do this. I know a lot of you do this. Bible study. Right? Bible study, right? I was talking with Monty this morning, and he was telling me about Bible study fellowship, and there are a lot of techniques and tools that we can use to do what? To study the Bible, because the point of Bible study is to ask the question, what did this text mean to its original audience? Okay? When this was said, when this was written, when this was recorded, what was the context? Who were the people that it was given to? Where were they in history, right? And it helps us to understand the Bible more accurately, not subjectively like, oh, this is what it means for me, and that's what it means for you, and it means two different things. No, God spoke to that group at that time for a very specific reason, and Bible study helps us to understand that. So if Lectio, spiritual reading, is to help, you know, we read the Bible to say, how is God speaking to me through this text? Bible study helps us to be to not manipulate the text and come up with some new meaning that's not really there, which is also very dangerous. And it's why we need people like the pastors in our churches to guide us and to teach us and to put up guardrails and to equip us to spend time in the Scriptures and not go astray. That's why Bible study continues to be so important. But this is one of the primary ways we can hear God's voice through Scripture. And so join a Bible study. I think that's so important to be in a Bible study, to learn, to have the tools, to understand how to correctly read and understand and interpret and apply the Scripture to your life. But then, even on your own or even with a group of friends, do spiritual reading as well. Take one passage and just sit with it. And don't be in a hurry. Just take some time and marinate in that verse or in that passage or in that text. And ask the Holy Spirit, God, impress upon our hearts something that you want us to take into our day or into this week or into this year. It's not meant to be this mystical, magical experience. It's really just meant to be quality time, like a date night, like we talked about yesterday with God as we're praying. Now, before we move on to some other ways that God speaks, some people just stop right here, right? They'll just say, hey, I'm all for Jesus in the Bible. That's enough. Let's be done, right? Like, there are no other ways that God speaks to us. And a lot of people do live as if, you know, Jesus had a bunch of things to say 2,000 years ago. It was all written down, and Jesus just stopped speaking, and God doesn't speak to us today, right? And the canon of Scripture, the Bible, is closed, and there is no more addition to what we have in the Scriptures, but I believe heaven is anything but silent. I believe God continues to speak to us today. Just like when he spoke creation into existence, I believe he speaks to you and me. And oftentimes, I think he speaks to us in a very still, small voice. It's not this big loudspeaker megaphone. So here are a few other ways I want to suggest that we can hear God's voice in our lives today. The next one is in our circumstances, okay? Now, let me just say this before we jump into it. There's a wide spectrum of thought on life and how things happen and how things play out, right? At the most simple level, there's a range of thought that God is in complete control and what's going to happen is going to happen because he's sovereign and he's never caught by surprise. And everything that's going to happen is going to happen whether or not, right? So there's that kind of school of thought. And then there's also the school of thought where, hey, humans have complete autonomy. We have free will. We can choose any course of action. We don't have to do what God wants us to do. And there's truth in that. But here's where across the spectrum, everyone will agree that at least in some circumstances of our lives, whether you believe kind of ultimately that everything happens because God makes it happen or we have this free will, but everybody will agree to some degree that there are circumstances in our lives that are really the shepherd's voice, God's voice, coming to us to lead us and to guide us in the various opportunities that we have. Have you ever heard anybody say, I guess God is just not opening that door, right? Or I've been trying to go this way, but God keeps closing that door. What does that mean? That means in that circumstance, God is not leading us through that path. God is not leading us in that direction. I hear people talk about that all the time, but that's how we're discerning. Some of you might not even realize that we're discerning. God is saying, no, Eugene, I don't want you to go left. I want you to go right. Sometimes the right door is closed. Okay, then God, where do I go? Maybe God is saying, wait. Maybe he's saying, don't go in either direction. And I'm impatient. And I just want to pick a third option, right? But this is how we can hear God's voice, by recognizing in our circumstances that his voice may be coming to us right where we are. Sometimes it's through limitations or through our giftings or through relationships. And I want to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But when and where and to whom we are born. Sometimes God speaks to us where we are in our family, the people that we're born into, or the siblings that we have. All throughout our lives, if you think about it, God is around us. Remember, he's in the air that we breathe, God all around us. And so in our circumstances, God can lead us and guide us. I like what one author, Paula Darcy, writes. She says, God often comes to us disguised as our life. And I read that over and over, and I'm like, what does that mean? And it's just so profound. God comes to me. God comes to you disguised as your life. He shows up in your life. Why? Because he's with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. That is his promise. So of course, in our circumstances, God is there. So learning how to discern God coming through the events or the non-events of our lives is a very important thing to do. It's one of the ways God speaks to us. And sometimes if God is not opening a door, it may be his way of saying, not this way or not that way. Or ultimately, he might be saying, I have a better way at a better time to turn the next page in your life story. So he knows you. He has a plan for you. And just because we might not know what the next step is, doesn't mean God doesn't want to lead us into that abundant life. Sometimes when we're patient and we're listening, we realize it just means, wait, stay right where you are. That's where I want you to be. You know, and I'm, you know, I don't know if you're into the Enneagram. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. I'm always trying to achieve and go and make progress. And I don't like staying where I'm at. I want to take the next step. I want to go take the next mile. And sometimes it's so hard for me, just based on my wiring, to just be still. And for God to say, Eugene, I just want you to rest. I want you to receive. I don't want you to give. I don't want you to lead. I don't want you to do anything. And that's hard for me. And it might be hard for some of you. So God can speak to us through our lives, through our circumstances. Here's another way that God may speak to us. And again, I'm just throwing out a lot of different ways that we might hear his voice, but the next way God might speak to you is through your desires. Okay? Let's talk about that for a second. Let's camp out on what that means, what that might mean, right? Our desires. This is one of the ways that we can listen to God, by carefully and critically listening to the desires of our heart. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean God wants you to do something, right? Just because Daniel, my friend, thought Sophia was cute doesn't mean God wants him to marry Sophia, right? So that's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm also not saying is just be true to yourself, which is what culture tends to tell us predominantly these days. You know, you be you, follow your heart. Like, that's not what I'm saying here either, right? The assumption there in wider culture is that all forms of external authority can't be trusted, right? So just listen to your inner voice. You know, you can't trust God. You can't trust your parents. You can't trust your teachers. You can't trust pastors, right? So just listen to your own heart. You be you. And that's not what I'm saying here. Because think about it for a second. You be you. Like, listen to your own voice. Like, how's that working out? Like, is society and culture getting better because we're listening to ourselves? Or is it getting more complicated because we do that, right? And there's enough truth in blocking out all these external voices that this idea of just listening to what's in our own hearts, it gets traction. And, you know, honestly, I mean, I have a lot of friends who are, you know, have no religious kind of experience or background, and they know I'm a pastor, and we have these conversations all the time, and, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not into religion, you know, I'm just in being a good person. And you know what? I tell them, I said, that's a religion too. That's a belief system too. Because you're defining what's good, right? You're defining what it means to be good or to be bad, and you're following that way. I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing it based on the teaching of Jesus. That's the difference here. right? You still have to have faith in your desires if you're a person that believes your desires are good to be a good person. Like, I've got to trust, you know, my desires are good and right and pure if I'm going to believe that that is the way to live. I'd love to just maybe, I don't know, I think I was talking to one of the college students yesterday. Somebody was in data science, right, I think. But I'd love to get a data scientist to just study, right, just study, like, track people or track societies and study whether people who follow external authority forms lead to greater human flourishing or people who track internal desires. Just study those two groups and see which group leads to human flourishing. And I would bet my money on one over the other. I don't think I would trust my own inner desires because I just, they're not pure. My desires are fallen. They're flawed. They're infected by this thing that we call sin in the church, right? So the writers of Scripture, when we talk about desire, again, I want to get into the Scripture with why I believe God can speak to us through our desires, because the writers of Scripture, if we study the Scriptures, this idea of desire, it's a lot more sophisticated than just do what feels right or you be you. You know, I grew up in the church. I know some of you, many of you grew up in the church, and I was almost always told you can't trust yourself. You can't trust your desires. I heard sermons on Jeremiah 17 saying the heart is deceitful above all things. So anything that's bubbling up in your heart or in your mind can't be trusted. Just suppress it. Get rid of it. And that's a lot of what I heard. And so I was always told desires are bad. They're evil. They're flawed. But a Christian theology of desire is so much more sophisticated than that. Because, yeah, Jeremiah does say in chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. But a few chapters later, he says, God will write his will on our hearts. So how can the heart be deceitful? And yet that is the place where God places his will. And what a Christian theology of desire is telling us is that the heart, you know, this place that we say our desires are formed, is both beautiful and ugly. It's light and shadow. Some of our desires, if they're left unchecked, would lead us to ruin. But our other desires are actually God at work in us. Sometimes our desires are God desiring through our desires. I was sharing with someone the other day, you know, I was studying, you know, science and thinking I was going into pre-med, but the desire of my heart wasn't to go into medicine, it was to go into ministry. And he was like, how did you know that? I was like, well, in the summers, rather than getting an internship and working in a lab, I came to camps like this all summers of my college, and I would volunteer at camps and work at camps and do retreats rather than advancing my research or my degree. My desire was to do something else. And it took about 4 years to actually begin to trust that desire and say, God, maybe you're opening the door to ministry and not medicine. And that became such a freeing thing for me because I just surrendered myself to where God was leading me. So I was listening to the desires in my heart. I was challenging them. I was asking a lot of people, hey, can you evaluate this with me? Can you process this with me? I wasn't keeping it a secret. I remember telling my parents, I think God is calling me to seminary, and they didn't appreciate that very much, you know, but, and, you know, credit to them, they prayed about it with me. And ultimately my dad said, hey, if God's calling you, you've got to go. And so I shared that with them. So, you know, when we're, again, I'm not saying listen to your desires in isolation. In this example, I'm saying share them with people in your community, people that you trust, people who are mature in the faith, bounce it off of them. And if people are agreeing with you, then maybe that desire can be trusted. Or maybe they're saying, hey, that desire seems really selfish, actually. Or I'm not sure if I would trust that desire if I were you. And we have to be willing to hear that word as well. Because sometimes that is the shepherd's voice, helping us to differentiate it between a stranger's voice. So, general rule, okay, all desire isn't bad. It's a good indication of design, intelligent design, you know. God made birds want to fly and fish want to swim. Not fish want to fish. That's like fish cannibals, right? They're like killing themselves, right? But, you know, why? So that, you know, birds could fly and fish could swim. And, you know, why did he give us a heart to worship? So that we could worship God. I enjoy worshiping him as my creator. That is a desire in my being. But let's remember also that our hearts are deceitful too. And there is this thing called sin, and it is a mixed bag. And we are easily influenced by external voices, We are easily influenced by Instagram and TikTok, let's be honest. And so we have to sift through all of our desires to discern, where is the Spirit of God coming through my own heart? And if you feel a desire and it won't go away and it's moving you in a direction, it may be the voice of God. But invite others to discern that with you. So God speaks to us through our desires. Another way that God speaks to us is through prophecy. Okay? And, you know, here, let me break that down for a second. When I mean prophecy, I mean God speaks to us through other people. Okay? In the New Testament, this falls under the umbrella of the prophetic, but Paul talks about prophecy as encouraging one another, strengthening each other, comforting one another as we speak to each other, right? Now, in the Old Testament, we do see prophets predicting the future and pronouncing judgment, and that's not the prophecy that I'm speaking to. I'm talking more about someone who's encouraging you with a word. Someone who's blessing you with prayer. Someone who's comforting you as you're maybe at a crossroads and don't know which way to go. And it could be a pastor or a friend or a mentor just coming alongside you and saying, hey, let me pray together with you on that. Let's pray together. And this is what happens. We pause, we pray together, and then maybe if you don't know what to do, that person will say, hey, I think God may be wanting you to dot, dot, dot. Have you ever heard someone say that to you? Like, I know personally that I would not be where I am today without those words of encouragement from other believers in my life. People who've prayed with me and for me and have affirmed me to do certain things or to live in a certain direction, and others who have advised me to maybe look in a different direction as well. And that's what I mean here. It's like being able to encourage one another, bless one another, comfort one another, as we feel God is impressing something upon us to share with a friend. And this is a kind of prayer that, again, also needs to be tested. I'm not saying whatever somebody tells you to do in the name of Jesus is the right thing to do. But this is one of those things where it's like, hey, I was praying for you the other day. I had this thought. I felt like I was meant to share this with you. Let's test this against community. Let's test this against Scripture. You know, but I just had to share this with you. I don't want to keep it to myself. I know a lot of the churches that I've been a part of would have a prayer ministry, and we train people on our prayer teams to pray for other people, right? And sometimes you don't know who's going to come to you that day on Sunday after church. You don't know who's going to come, and you don't know what they're going to ask for prayer. But the way we train them is like, when you're praying, listen. Don't just pray blanket prayer. Just listen and pray and pause. Tell me, how can I pray for you? Listen to their story. Listen to their burden. And say, Lord God, we just come before you together today. And sometimes we train people to say, if God puts something on your heart, share it with them. But just do, you know, say, hey, I think God might be inviting you into this season for this or for that. And I think this might be something we want to share with other people. And let's ask other people if this feels right. But we never tell people to say, God wants me to tell you to do this. But more of a, hey, maybe God is speaking to us. And again, I think it's important because it's easy for the blind to lead the blind. And it's easy for us sometimes to get caught up with what we want someone to do and to distract someone from the voice of the shepherd. And so we can hear God's voice through one another. And I look around this room and I look at kind of the way that you've interacted over these last couple of days. And I think you are very blessed to have people that you could probably call or meet with or gather with anytime and just say, hey, Eric, you know, can we grab coffee? I've got this thing that I don't know what to do. I'd love your wisdom on this. Right. Monty, you know, it's a, you know, can I come over for breakfast? I've got this big decision and I don't know which way to turn. You know, could you give me some wisdom? You know, ask somebody who may have more wisdom than you. Maybe somebody who's been walking with Jesus a little longer than you. You know, Pastor Calvin, you know, I've got these jobs and, you know, I've got feeling anxious and, you know, it's keeping me up at night. Pastor Calvin, what should I do? And you go and you can ask people to come listen with you. And maybe God will speak to you through them. And that's the beauty of community that we have here. That's why we're not on our own. We're together. One last portal or way that I think we can hear God's voice, and then we'll wrap up. But finally, it is listening prayer. And we're talking about prayer. We're talking about what we say. But now we are also talking about what we hear. And listening prayer is basically just waiting quietly for God to speak in your mind and in your heart. Kind of like what Mother Teresa did. What do you say when you pray? She says, I say nothing. I listen. It's just sitting still, because remember this, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you, in your mind, in your soul. You have the mind of Christ. And listening prayer begins with quieting our mind of all the distractions, all the busyness of life. Kind of like we talked about yesterday, sometimes going to a private place, a quiet place, a designated place, at a designated time, with the intention of being quiet and being still and listening and sitting and waiting. And sometimes waiting is just hard to do if we're honest. You know, we're very efficient people. We want to get things done. But sometimes listening prayer just means to pause, to eliminate hurry from our lives. Give this a try sometime. Go somewhere quiet. Go somewhere distraction-free. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Ask the Spirit to silence the voice of the stranger. Ask God to illuminate what He wants to say to you, to make it clear. Maybe read a passage of Scripture slowly. Read it again and again. Marinate on that. If a thought or an idea or impression comes, write it down. Or pray it out. God, I feel like you might be leading me in this direction. You might be speaking to me in this way. I'm not a big journaler, but there are times when I have to write down what I feel like God might be saying. And oftentimes, I'll write it down and I'll put it away. And I'll walk away from it. And I'll sometimes test it by seeing if God continues to speak to me in that way. And that's discernment. It's walking through this process of listening and waiting and reflecting and being prayerful and being meditative and just waiting on God to listen to His still small voice. To conclude, in prayer, we're not just learning to speak to God and what to say. We're also learning what it means to listen to God, to wait, to hear His voice, ultimately to do what? To obey it, to trust it, to believe that His commands, His way, will lead us to the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10, life to the full. And to do that, we do need a measure of discernment. I'm not saying just go off on your own and just trust whatever it is that you're hearing or whatever it is that you're reading and interpreting. Let's do this together in community. You have people in your community here that are trained, that have studied, that have walked the path, that have made mistakes, right? That have misheard God at times in their lives, and they've learned from that. So you're not alone in this. You have a community here, a foundation that can support you on this journey as you listen to God's voice. It is both the work of the Spirit and it is a work of community. And it's something that we do together, and we're not alone. And we learn to hear God's voice as we just spend time with Him. Like any person that matters to you in your life, you begin to know who they are and how they think, and what matters to them by doing what? By listening to them. By asking them questions. By spending time with them. And a lot of that is waiting. I want to just close with this picture. And you know, I didn't put this in my notes, but I couldn't help ignore it yesterday as I was walking around this camp. We're surrounded by these beautiful things called redwood trees, right? These are massive trees. I love them. And they're all over the place. Some of them are literally just kind of single standing, but typically they're clustered together, right? They're usually in a forest like this. And these massive trees sometimes are literally side by side, right? You're like, how can two trees? And again, I'm not an expert, right? I'm not an expert on trees or, you know, the nature of trees. But here is something that I do know about redwoods that are very unique about them. They're typically clustered in a forest like this because beneath the surface, their roots are intertwined, and they support one another. Because look at how big and massive they are. And, you know, here in California, we have earthquakes, we have strong winds, we have storms. I mean, and yet these redwoods can endure any storm. any rumbling, any shaking of foundation. Why? Because beneath the surface, the roots are intertwined. They are in community together. And I think as we continue to follow Jesus together as a church, as CLC, as followers of Jesus, I think it's important to be reminded that we are in community together. And this is not a solo trip. We speak to God together. We do it corporately on Sunday so that we can do what? So that we can do it Monday through Saturday. But we also listen to God together. We pray together. We encourage one another. We speak to each other in spiritual songs and prayer. Invite that. Receive that. Seek that. Again, if you just look around the room, and I'm looking at all of you right now, like I just see like there's so much of God's goodness here in this place. And there are people that aren't even here that I just wasn't able to meet this weekend that I'm sure are a blessing and a gift to this place. Lean into them. Trust them. Love them. Receive them. And we stand on one another's shoulders together as a community of faith. Because so often when we try to go off on our own or we try to figure things out on ourselves, that's when we get distracted. That's when we can get caught up and go off in the wrong direction. But like these trees that endure season after season after season, it's because they're interconnected at the base. And so as Jesus says, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. I pray that you would have ears to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father, that you would sit at His feet like Mary and receive His word, and that it would be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Jesus, we sit at your feet and we want to hear your voice. And we know that you love us, that you are compassionate, that you are full of hospitality and grace and patience and wisdom. And though we may know a thing or two as your people, we don't know it all. There are so many things that we cannot predict. And there are some things that we cannot even discern on our own. And so, Father, would you speak to us through your still small voice? Would you speak to us in community? Would you speak to us through the teachings that we receive on the weekends? Would you speak to us through the times of study that we commit ourselves to? God, would you speak to us as we trust in you and follow you day by day, week by week, and month by month. May we learn to hear your voice. And God, give us peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So that we can be in a deep, fruitful, loving, dynamic relationship with you. Lead us, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.